Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
what do you got cooking?
Episode 164, my lady love.
Oh, okay. That's what you're cooking?
That is what we're cooking. And in honor that the government is back together, there's supposed to be a State of the Union address, but fuck that. I'm giving a State of the Queer Union address.
See
what I've done there?
Smashing it together.
Yes, that is what
not
we're doing.
Not Queen Union.
No,
Queer
not
Union.
The Queen. That is something that Queen Candace is given. I will not be giving that to Queen Candace.
That is tomorrow at 6 p.m. Not right now. We've already booked this room, so.
Yes. She's banging on the door. Queen Candace, it's not your time.
No.
But there's so many things that are happening between the incident that happened with Jussie Smollett.
Yes.
There is new advancements in the HIV plus community.
Cool.
Things that are happening on laws and issues that are happening. All kinds of things, and also things that are there's some queer superheroes that are popping up on your TV screen.
Ooh.
And what's happening with the gay bars? Are they there more? Are there less? What's going on?
Gotta
and
find out.
What's going on with Scruff? Scruff can't do something, and you're gonna find out this week in the episode.
Yeah, right. Like soon, not this. Like after this message.
In just a few moments.
Yeah, not this week.
And there is a TV show that I want to get into the trash fire of bad television, tell you all about some show that you should watch. Plus, Stacey Abrams, Tessa Thompson, we got so much to talk about this week.
Yeah, we got it jam-packed of fun and maybe some, you know, some children's rhymes.
We're going to
we
figure
throw
it
in.
Out.
Dissect it.
Dissect it. Get into that good.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Bye. See you after the song.
Miss Mary Mac.
Okay.
All dressed in black.
Just
black,
bringing it back. What? This is
classic, but a goodie. Remember her?
I mean, yeah.
Remember
it is
her? How's she doing?
Of course I do.
Miss Mary Mac. She was. Doesn't she end up going to heaven?
Silver buttons on her back.
If I remember the story correctly, something was dripping down her back. Was it? What was dripping down her back?
Silver buttons.
Oh, good for who? Put the, so how'd she get ready in the morning? She had to like get those.
An assistant, obviously.
Oh, see, that's part of the rhyme that they don't tell. And
I
her
mean,
assistant dressed her up in the morning.
Wait, hold on, mm-hmm. This is making me realize that half of the things that I recited when I was a little kid, I was not paying attention to the context,
because
and I was just saying the words and the rhythm.
You're just like, this is fine. This is cute.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Miss Mary Mac, she was dressed in black. Was she going to a funeral? Or maybe she was. Like, I don't know.
Or she's chic. I don't know. Oh. She had silver buttons all down her back.
She clearly had an assistant to help her get her ready.
What's the next
morning.
Line after that?
All down her back. Zack attack, tack.
No, that's
okay. No, I don't know. Power Rangers wasn't involved.
Oh, somebody knows it and they're so frustrated
they're
listening to the podcast.
Tweet us the lyrics. All I know is that eventually she went to heaven.
So she died. So that's why she's dressed in black. She's dead.
Ooh, this is meta. She was getting ready
for
her own
funeral. See, that's what I'm telling you. This stuff is dark.
Dark, twisted. You were just having a good time slapping hands, singing along, jump roping.
I mean, you know about the girl from Kansas City, right?
She had the titties.
Meatballs for her titties.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
And she had scrambled eggs between her legs. Woo, ain't she pretty. That song, that one is fucked up.
I learned that from you from college, because I missed out on that one in my childhood.
You didn't get that one?
Aneka's like,
you weren't hanging out with the right people until college, apparently.
Aneka, welcome to college. Let me tell you about this girl with her scrambled eggs between her legs and her
from
titties.
From Kansas City.
You heard about her?
Does that, meatballs for titties, does that mean, is it
she
supposed to be like whimsical or,
I thought she had small
were they
boobs.
Lumpy?
Oh.
Or are they small?
That's what I just imagined two little meatballs.
Oh, I thought they were like lumpy, like a meatball.
Okay. Well,
or
were
they tasty?
Ooh. I don't know. You know what? Her titties got layers. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Women have layers.
Like, let's reclaim this so we're not like making fun of women.
Yeah. And they're, yeah, you got meatball titties. It means many things.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of childhood, not trauma.
I mean, kind of.
I guess so. I guess it just sort of came out. Did you ever, I don't know if it's offensive to say, but did you ever play the Chinese jump rope? It's like the jump rope where you wrap it between, it's like a long string that is wrapped between you and someone else's
legs.
Yeah,
it's kind of like hand doing the cat's cradle with your hands, but with your feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to just err on the side of yes, that's probably racist to call it Chinese jump rope, unless we know for a fact that it does originate from China.
Yeah. Did you used to play?
Yeah, but I was never good at it.
Oh,
I kind of got so far. Like, okay. You know, with Cat's Cradle, I only got so far.
I could get up to doubles. I was just, I was a Chinese jump rope champion. Or
maybe let's change the name.
Alternative jump rope champion.
Cat's Cradle for your feet.
Cat's Cradle feet jump rope champion.
You know what I found out recently, too? What'd speaking of that? Offensive names for things.
Yes, we're just going into the archives. We're digging. That's what we do here at Minority Corner. We dig it up. What was offensive? Let's find out.
You know the wave? Like, you go to a concert and there's a wave?
Oh, what? Yes. Don't you take this away from me, Aneke.
Why in the UK do they call it the Mexican wave?
Oh, no. England, what's going on?
Why?
Is there another wave that I don't know about?
I don't know. All I know is I went to.
Isn't it weird to like name? Is it? That's the only wave there is.
It's weird. Just call it the wave. I like went to see this one band in college that I really like called Block Party, and they're British, and they're like, "Can you guys do the Mexican wave?" And I was like, nope. "What?
What?"
And everybody was like, "What?" And then
just
like,
hear a record scratch. Just go. You're like having a good time.
And then I looked it up, and yes, that's what they call it there.
Do they have, like, but, like, what do the British people do for just, like, if they're like, oh, which wave are we, listen, stadium, I'm sure they make a big announcement. They're like, stadium, which wave shall we do? And they're like, let's do the Mexican one, like, as opposed to.
No, I think it's, I don't know. Don't ask. I'm not British.
You're right. Yeah. Well, I know some, so I'll be sending a carrier pigeon to go find out the information to them.
I'm glad you're going traditional with that information.
I mean, they're old school, you know, it's an old ass country, and I want to respect their ways.
James.
What? It is old. She old, and she know it. And I'm not being ageist, I'm just calling a spade a spade.
Okay.
Yeah. I have some really great news for you.
Okay, what's that?
Well, later on, go with me here. So the State of the Union is back on.
Okay, yes.
Because we
February, right? Something?
Yeah, it's coming up. February 4th, I'm going to say. I could be wrong. Uh-huh. It sounds right. It feels right. It feels good.
Fifth, I think.
Why
keep
up in our month? God damn it. Whatever.
I know, whatever.
You know what? Okay. But speaking of, so that orange man, Orange Chiodolini, is going to be giving the State of the Union address because government is somewhat going, it's back running. Nancy Pelosi held her own. She did not cave in, which I'm actually really impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed too. She's doing her job.
She did her job. And guess who? So the party that's not the head of the union.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The party that's not the head of the union also gives like a rebuttal State of the Union. And guess who on the Democratic side is giving the Democrats State of the Union address?
I mean, I know who it is, so you should. Who?
You know what? And the award goes to Aneke. You earned that today. I was convinced. If we were to edit out that middle part, people would have been like, ooh, she didn't know.
I mean, I need to not be a know-it-all for once in my life and go along with the.
But that's what, you know what? You are who you are, and that's why we love you. Stacey Abrams.
Which is so amazing.
All the snaps. Why are you so excited about that?
I'm so excited is because she didn't get as much coverage as like Beto, even though Beto's great. I have no problem with him.
Yep.
But she didn't get as much coverage as him, and she's an excellent speaker. I don't think a lot of people gave her credit for being an excellent speaker. Mm-hmm. Not to mention she was robbed in her election by racism and sexism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she is an excellent person to put on stage. I'm so glad that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are bucking the trend of going along with moderate centrist Democrats and old school and getting some new, young, fresh blood voices out there.
I think you you and I must be playing the same Cat's Cradle footsie jump rope game because we are on the same page doing synchronized moves, because I was thinking the same exact thing. And for the same exact reasons, because it also, I think it speaks to, because there's a lot of people who are tired of the establishment and establishment politics, and I feel like it sends a message that the Democratic leaders are listening to the people.
Yes, unity,
and so I think like it's because it's a two party system, and there's Democrats, we make up a huge spectrum of people, and I think like it was making space for her, and same thing, Beto is getting all this recognition. And Stacey Abrams hasn't been, and I think it's saying like, hey, she's still a prominent member of this Democratic Party. It also speaks like, hey, we're acknowledging the fucked upness that she should have won. It just speaks your actions speak volumes. So I'm actually impressed by this Democratic leadership right now by doing that move.
Me too. Amen. It's making me, I've always been a little wary of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Like, I like them. They're Democrats, obviously. But, some of the decisions that they've made, some of the things, like going against the new Green Deal and just stuff like that kind of made me like, oh, you guys are like so mainstream. This to me is, like you said, showing unity, showing partnership, also not letting Stacey Abrams fade into the background, keeping her name relevant because we need her.
Yeah.
We need her. And also, let's remember how fucked up that election in Florida was.
Absolutely. Yep. They're keeping at the forefront.
Or Georgia.
It's Georgia. I mean,
Georgia. Gilliam is Florida.
But you know what? Fucked up shit happened there too. So I can see how you got them confused. I can see how you were confused, Miss Mary Mack. If I could
no,
say
I'm
so.
Alive. Thank you very much.
And you're not dressed in black. Well, it's little charcoal.
No, gray.
Okay. See, she got you.
And I don't got silver buttons down my back.
You don't got an assistant either. So I guess you ate. I want to find someone who about, look at Miss Mary Mack over there. And you'll see her. You'll know it when you see her.
Fine with not being Miss Mary Mack. Sounds depressing as hell.
You know what makes it so great? It's all that alliteration. Alliteration's funny. If you want to make something funny.
That's why we're like into it.
Miss
Mary
Mack.
They can sneak some scary ass like mean, rude, semi-racist comments in there. And we're like, woo, it rhymes.
Look at that. You see that rhyme and you see that alliteration? That's fun. You know what else is fun? Our girl Tessa Thompson, who we've devoted episodes upon episodes to on the Minority Corner.
I mean, we love her.
We do. In fact, we had episode 6 degrees of Tessa Thompson, where everything we talked about accidentally related back to Tessa Thompson, because she was everywhere.
I mean, she's great.
We love her. And she's even greater, because she put out forth the 4% challenge. Did you hear about this?
No, what's it? I don't. Tell me.
Okay. So the 4% challenge is, she is putting out the challenge to actors, or just to the folks in the industry. She's making a commitment that within the next 18 months, she's going to do a project with a female director. And I think that comes from that only 4% of either last year's movies or the movies in the last decade have been directed by women. Like ones that are like in the top, demographic of top earners, only 4%. And I think like it's like top earners in terms of like it's a broad spectrum of like 50 to 100 movies. 4% were directed by women.
Terrible. So good. I'm glad. We need to get more opportunities to the women that are directing so we can lift that percentage up, especially with A-listers like Tessa Thompson.
And even folks like J.J. Abrams have been like, hey, me and Bad Robot were in. Like, people have been like committing to
good.
It. Yeah. Right. So
I love that.
It just is like, I don't know, when you see things like that, it's just like a really exciting time in media, in the country, and in the world.
Ooh, speaking of media, I have a little news that
news. That's just in.
We were talking last episode, we talked about black horror movies.
We did.
And you know, we always talk about Candyman.
Ooh, why do you say it? Ooh, every time you say it, I get chills. You get a giggle.
Well, you need to hold on to your chill factor, because did you know that Jordan Peele is actually doing
a remake of Candyman? You know what it is? It's our fault. I'm sure we've said Candyman at least three times, and but we spoke it into existence, Aneke.
But
damn,
that's not
it.
I don't mind that existence, but Jordan Peele, and then also Lakeith
Stanfield. You know it's
going
to be scary as fuck. It's going to be scary as fuck.
Like, Lakeith Stanfield is excellent. Not only was he with our girl Tessa Thompson in Sorry to Bother You, he's also been in Atlanta. He was in Get Out. He's up and coming.
Is he the Candyman?
I don't know. They just said he's going to be in it. Mm-mm. He signed up to be in it. Ooh, so see? I think that that's exciting.
I mean, I'm excited and terrified at the same time. Like, I'm like pooping in my pants and waving my hands in the air like I just don't care, but I do care all at the same time.
All right, I'll take this mixed emotion.
I love that you're like, it's a lot in an image, but you know what? I'm gonna take that. It works.
I'm gonna I'll take that as a success.
Ooh, Aneke. Can I get in on garbage TV for a moment?
Yes, but here's the problem. This is going to be a one-sided conversation.
That's totally fine. I just want to catch you up on all
this. Because this is a show I have never watched.
And sometimes you catch me up on what's going on with the housewives and things like that. And so I just want to get into the game. I want to be a little lowbrow too sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Which is like, I'm surprised I've never dipped my foot into these warm waters of Minnetonka, but...
I'm surprised too. It's blowing my mind. Stop what you're doing and catch up right now, everybody. There's three new episodes a week because the show is batshit bananas crazy. It's only running for a month. It is Celebrity Big Brother.
I don't know why I can't get into it.
This is only the second.
With me?
It's only the second year that they've done Celebrity Big Brother. They did it last year during the Olympics, and it was batshit crazy. But
with Julie Chen Moonves.
And she keeps announcing that she's Julie Chen Moonves. And I'm so sad because she's had such a great, wonderful career of her own. And she's going down with this flaming sack of shit fire.
Yeah, she got a shitty husband and she's sticking by it.
Who, like, he is also what we deduced was part of the reason why Janet Jackson's career went. He made it part of his mission after Super Bowl Nipplegate to destroy her career.
I'm telling you.
He's a terrible man.
I'm not throwing shitty husband around loosely.
Yeah, I mean, he literally is.
Fact.
You look in that Merriam-Webster. She has a definition in a picture, and it's just Les Moonves. He's right there. And you know, CBS has gotten more diverse since he left.
Yeah, because don't they have like a woman running it now?
Probably. And like, they've got all kinds of like, there's more there's just more diversity that's popping up, and I feel like it trickles down from the top. And there's other like weird, you know, other CBS has been a dirty house, because there was this other actor guy who he had all these like sexual harassment charges that he Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, that guy. Bull? What was that name of the show? I think it was called Bull.
Yeah, and it's still going on. And this guy, oddly enough, I guess he has a thing with like 90s actresses, because he used to be married to like Jessica Alba for a period of time when they were working on a show.
He was married to Jessica Alba?
This guy who was like the star of Bull. Yeah.
Wow.
Because they worked on a show called Dark Angel together.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dark Angel. That was so like good. From a million years ago. I don't know if I watched it.
Oh, but. I did. You know I love... If there's a woman and she's kicking and punching, you know I'm tuning in. Just get... Ooh, she kicking? I'm there. But Celebrity Big Brother, it's blowing my mind. The house is bananas. How they got these people up in the house. You got Tom Green. You got... Okay.
He's not doing anything.
Tamara Braxton.
Okay.
Kato fucking Kaelin.
Are all names, but
weird. But they're so random.
Doing anything.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, but it's just so, these people are in a fucking house together. It's bananas. Ryan Lochte, Lolo Jones, Eva Marie something from the WWE. My favorite. Dina Lohan, the woman after my own heart.
Oh, yeah, I know. You love yourself some Dean. I mean.
She is my inspiration. I have two inspirations in my life. No, three. I have three.
Okay.
Oprah, The Rock, and Dina Lohan.
That sounds like a Celebrity Big Brother house in its own right.
It's like I just aspire to be like all of them. And Dina Lohan is just like, she just is so fun to watch because she doesn't know what's going on.
Speaking of Dina Lohan, her daughter is on the weirdest show of my life.
Isn't it her own show? It's like MTV. It's like Lindsay's at the beach
Lindsay's
or something.
Beach House. And okay, it is weird.
Oh, God.
But we won't dip into that. That's just put a pin in, maybe watch 15 minutes of it and then be like, what
okay,
did I just watch?
What did I just watch? Well, mother and daughter, they're both on the television screen right now. Woo! Dina's dream. You know this is Dina's dream. She's like,
yeah, she's excited.
Me and my daughter, some people think we're sisters. We both have shows on right now.
Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That one guy from, he hosts, like, Cake Wars and used to be on Mean Girls. He was on,
What is that? Cake Wars and Mean Girls?
Yeah, he's the actor who played the love interest in Mean Girls. He's gay.
Oh, that guy has been making the rounds because he was just in Ariana Grande's video.
Right.
Thank You, Next.
Reprising his role.
Oh, speaking of Ariana Grande, she got a tattoo on her palm of her hand that was supposed to say 7 rings for her newest song that came out in Chinese writing. And instead, it means small charcoal grill.
Girl, why didn't you fact check this? You're getting something on your hand. You've got all those assistants and people around you. You know who she ate? She no Miss Mary Mack. Ariana Grande is no Miss Mary Mack because of Miss... You know what? Miss Mary Mack would have had someone check this. That assistant, get to work. Check this.
Small charcoal grill.
You are no Miss Mary Mack, Miss Ariana Grande. Mm-mm.
Mm. Okay, speaking of... So that guy... He
was on Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah. I didn't know he
first one out of the house.
Hosted Cake Wars. Oh.
He did.
See, I don't understand the rules either. Every time somebody's like, you could veto this, and then they vote on that.
Ooh,
and then you go outside of the house and then the audience vote. I'm like, what is happening?
Sounds like
give
you got
me
it,
one
girl.
Rule.
Sounds like you got it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because there's a head of household. The head of household
See,
has
already, what?
They have to nominate 2 people for eviction. Sometimes there's 3. There's like a plot twist, and they're like, surprise, you have to nominate another person. They each have the opportunity to play for the power of veto. Only 6 people will play for the power of veto.
What?
One of them could win and then take themselves off the block. Sometimes what the head of household likes to do is nominate 2 pawns and then backdoor someone to then be the replacement nominee. And then the house guests then all vote on voting night. And it's spread out between 3 episodes in a week. And then there's just one winner, and they are the winner of Big Brother. There it is. Not that hard.
Yes, that was very hard, James. That like, was like, you beautiful mind me Big Brother right there.
Yeah.
That, like,
well, I am waving my Dina Lohan flag hardcore. Hope that 52-year-old woman can go the distance.
She will. I mean, look, she's a conniving lady.
Well, actually, you know what? She's actually just really just kind of going along with the flow of things.
You think?
She does not seem like she knows what she's doing. I will tell you
this. I wouldn't either, though.
But that Tamara Braxton is a mess. Oh, and what's her face from Escape is in it? Candy?
Yeah, why? That's the one person I don't understand. Because 1, Candy already has a TV show. 2, she already is going on tour. 3, the TV show, she's promoting a sex dungeon that she wants people to come to. It's like a cabaret show.
Oh.
And she got money. What's she doing?
Well,
got kids. She got a baby.
And Candy and Tamara Braxton have all this drama from when they went out on tour, and it's all unfolding in front of the Big Brother cameras.
Why is Candy Burris on there? She had, you know what? She can live her life. You know what? She's doing her thing.
The biggest annoyance was Steve the Mooch was in there. And we're like, ugh, why? Like, it feels like it's like people leave the White House and they go into the Big Brother house to try to like repair their like image. But then he ended up leaving.
Don't say it like a general thing. It's only this weird administration that's doing this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You don't see nobody from Obama's administration.
This is how long I've been in this bizarre world. I'm like, yeah, this is what happens. After you're in the work in the White House, you then go on Big Celebrity Brother.
It's all the crazy people that have been working for this crazy administration.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to repair his image, and then, like, I think he forgot. Like, he's also worth $250 million, and I think he realized, what am I doing here? And he created his own, like, he's like, just kidding, I wasn't really a house guest, but I think they made that up.
Stupid.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? This is kind of a good segue into my corner if we're ready to go.
Yeah, so, where are we going for your corner?
Well, before that orange Cheeto man gives his State of the Union address, I want to give a State of the Queer Union.
Yes.
See what I did there?
You
see
what I think I... so. I think I saw. I can. You painted it for the back of the house.
Well, let's go see what's going on over there.
All right.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Alea Gringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on, but Legs, we're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff. Only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
State of the Queer Union. I'm going to give the address. Dress, all on your dress.
Wait, so
dress.
I actually looked up the lyrics to
okay, yeah.
Miss Mary Mack.
Well, this is kind of like, you know what, we'll say this is the national anthem before the State of the Queer Union. This would get read or sung.
Okay.
What are the lyrics?
Okay, so we already got the first part, right?
Miss Mary Mack, dress
Miss
in black.
Miss Mary Black, she got silver buttons down her back. She asked her mother.
Oh, what her mother said?
Times three.
Mm.
For 50 cents.
Oh, times...
times three.
Simpler times. Ooh, math.
To see the elephants.
Oh, see? Taking a turn.
Jump over the fence.
Oh, what is this zoo?
They jump so high, they reach the sky, and they didn't come back to the 4th of July. So she did not die, James!
Okay.
What dark version
I
were you singing?
There was someone that went to heaven. You keep reading.
No, she just, that's it. Oh. She just went, she wanted to go see some elephants jump, and they jumped.
I feel like this is a watered, edited version for the 21st century
child.
No, because
that's what
I don't remember any elephants.
I legit remember.
No.
It originated in Virginia in 1908.
Oh, okay. Did they say who Miss Mary Mack was?
What?
Did they have a bio about who Miss Mary Mack was? Where the story
There's
originated
a Wikipedia.
From? Oh, okay.
There's a
wasn't sure if they're like, the legend of Miss Mary Mack was.
I mean, I'm looking, but no.
How old is she? She went to her mom to go get 50 cents times three, which is like, what, $1.50?
I mean, it's 1908.
That's a lot, might be a lot of money she was asking for.
Yeah. Oh, it goes on,
oh,
too. There's
see?
More.
There it goes to read the heaven.
She asked for, there's no heaven.
Oh.
It's all these elephants.
She was obsessed.
She asked her mother for five more cents.
Oh, God.
To see the elephants jump the door.
Oh.
They jumped so low, they stubbed their toe. And that was the end of the elephant show.
See, I don't remember this B-side version. I remember
who told you
she
this
was
dark-ass dying shit.
And then she went to heaven. Times seven, 11.
I think that's a different
11. Someone went to heaven in one of these nursery rhymes. Well,
Fairfield was dark.
Well, thank you to our neighborhood librarian getting our fact check on. Okay.
You're welcome.
So I wanted to give the State of the Queunion address. There was so much news. I feel like I was learning about just the LGBT community that was happening. And I want to make sure that we are all abreast of everything that's happening.
Yes. So, keep us abreast.
And you know, usually I love me a good Quizlet to get the facts out. But this week, no. I don't want any misinformation.
We're not mixing anything up.
I don't want to mix up any facts. I don't want to mix up anything in your head. So I want to get all these facts out correctly.
Give it to me straight.
Yes. Or give it to you. Well, how about queerly?
Yeah. Give it to me forward.
Always forward.
In
never
a queer
straight.
Type of way.
As my lesbian friend once told me as I was driving, and I've never.
I know. You once said that to me when I was driving, and I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. You just pass it along. You pass it along to Miss Mary Mack. Okay. So the first thing is we're going to start off with, we're going to go on a journey. So the first thing is, so Jesse Smollett. Am I saying his last name right?
Is it Jesse Smollett? Jesse?
Jesse.
G-U.
Jesse.
Yeah,
J-U.
Uh-huh. And he's a part of a famous family. A lot of those siblings. His sister was in Eve's Bayou.
Oh.
And then she was also in the Underground Railroad or move
that
TV
show that people were mad that got canceled because it was so good, apparently. I was just about to start binging it and then it got canceled.
I know. And that whole family had a cooking show on the Food Network.
Oh, damn.
They're fun. They're fun siblings.
Well, some really devastating news that had happened. I'm also upset that, you know, I watched The View every morning. They did not talk about this morning. I'm a little upset.
They didn't talk about it this morning?
This is headline news. So he is best known for playing Jamal on Empire, and it's which is a big thing. I mean, and Jamal is like an openly gay character on the show, and it's, you know, it's a huge thing to have him on that show and that character. It means a lot. And he was the victim of racist and homophobic hate crimes by two white men in Chicago. According to TMZ, two white men in ski masks reportedly approached the 35-year-old actor on Monday and called out racial and homophobic slurs. They said, "Aren't you that faggot Empire? Aren't you that faggot Empire nigger?" And then began attacking him with some unknown chemical substance.
I heard it was bleach.
I think from this original part, I guess it was bleach after that they found out. And there were some reports that they yelled out that, like, this is MAGA country, although the police have said that they haven't corroborated that.
They're now confirming it.
Oh, they did. They are confirming it. See, look at
these Chicago
things.
Police confirmed it.
That they did say that. See? See? And he also, just a little backstory, that Jesse also had been receiving threatening letters in the mail, "You will die, black fag," written disturbing ransom style cutout letters. This just like broke my heart.
I just, not to jump in, but the most important thing to me is that they put a noose around his neck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they broke his rib.
They broke his ribs. They put a noose around his neck. So it was like they were essentially trying to lynch him. It just was like, what year is this? And I think, like, as a black gay actor, this was terrifying. And in Chicago, I feel like, it's so haunting, and it makes you feel just not safe. And it's really frustrating because this is Trump's America. This is what you're creating. And it's not that I can't believe, but I just don't understand how come he hasn't, I guess I do understand, but the fact that he hasn't come out and condemned these people, like
Trump?
Yes. He could stop this. If he, like, all of this, like, violence that is coming out, apparently in the Chicago police have reported a 17% increase in hate crimes towards queer individuals since 2017. What has changed? We had a new president come in, and that's not just one specific marginalized group. Like, marginalized groups, like, hate crimes are just going up in this country.
Because people are feeling emboldened. Yes. This is exactly what I was afraid of. They're getting permission to act this way. When you go and watch the speeches by Trump and you hear about him touting the silent majority, that's his whistle calling to white people and to people who are xenophobic, homophobic, racist, all of those, saying, hey, it's time for you to not be silent anymore. It's time for you to go out and fucking create lynch mobs and kill us all the rest of us, basically.
Yeah. Well, I have news for y'all. We're not going anywhere. And that and that hate that you have in your heart, you need to fucking come to terms with it, because it's just gonna it's gonna destroy you. That hate is venomous. It is poison inside of you, and you need to handle it. You need to come to terms with it, and you need to refine the love that is supposed to be in your heart. It's disgusting. I can't imagine treating someone like this. And again, so important for those of us who have family members that are, you know, wearing these red hats to continue having these discussions with them, because left to their own devices, it is not good.
Amen to that.
So
my heart goes out to Jesse Smollett, because I can't even imagine going through something like that. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I'm just glad that he is okay. And it's just like, as someone was saying, it's like, you know, a few things. Like, one, either this was, one of our listeners was saying, Dan was saying, you know, one of two things that's frightening about this is that either, like, this was planned, which is also frightening, you know, or this was just a random act that's also frightening, like, both ways that you look at it. And the fact that, like, you know, not even a celebrity is okay and safe in this, you know, Trump's America.
Right. I know. It just like goes to show that we were never post-racial, and yes. I'm so disgusted with people that were trying to say that after Obama was elected. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's a continued work that we need to do because this was lurking.
Yeah,
this was always lurking.
And for those of us in the queer community, I'm especially many of us who are, you know, either, you know, POC and queer or trans. I feel like that's it should be an awakening call for us of us in the community that like there's still so much more work to do because he was targeted for being both black and gay. And that like news outlets need to call it what it is. Some are mm-hmm. saying that it's like racially motivated. No, this is a fucking hate crime. Like call it what it yeah. is. Don't like try to yeah. sugarcoat it. Call it what it is.
Exactly. It's cowardice to me to say allegedly or racially motivated, like you said, or potentially or whatever. Call it, like you said, name it. Name it. Say the abusers were racist and homophobic. And also, we need to really, like you were alluding at before, that's the whole purpose of this podcast, is to talk about intersectionality. Mm-hmm. This is violence on an intersectionality basis.
Yep, absolutely.
It wasn't purely racist. It wasn't purely homophobic. It was both.
Yeah. Both. Well, you know, the world could use some more heroes. And luckily, the CW has some really amazing queer heroes coming to your TV screen to inspire us to act out, to like fight back. What are you
judging? Well, when you're saying CW, I'm just imagagining actual superheroes now because they have the gamut on that right now.
Oh,
they have the
I'm
lockdown.
Talking about legit superhero. Yeah,
yeah, that's I know.
So I have not jumped on this because I got overwhelmed, but I'm going to have to dip my toe back in. I've been hearing such great things. So there's three queer characters, actually about to be four queer characters in all them CW shows. So Black Lightning has yes. a new one coming out. She is Thunder, and she is the first black lesbian superhero to be all up on your TV screens. So I believe she's and she's like the daughter of Black Lightning, and I believe her character's name is Anissa Pierce. And
does she call out clap clap when she's about to do anything?
Ooh, they're gonna be like, make it clap. And like, there's so many great lines, I'm sure, that's like work into there. And Black Lightning's already gotten like a lot of applause because it already is a show that challenges things like police brutality, meets it head on, which I just give the snaps for this, you know, teen sort of superhero soap opera show that is tackling these issues.
Isn't Black Lightning like a middle-aged man?
And that's the other thing too. He's a middle-aged man, but the audience for the show, I mean, is like
our teens. Teens.
Teens and people who are teens at heart. And also like her character, like the writing on the show, and I really have to applaud probably the writers behind the show that I feel like, I think his name is Greg Berlanti is the mastermind behind a lot of the DC TV shows that have been doing so well. He's sort of like the Kevin Feige behind the scenes for the TV series. And her character has always been kind of like, you know, her admirers on the show, like she's looked up to people like Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman, and apparently like Harriet Tubman's been like her nickname on the show. I don't know how
that's a really long nickname.
Not a short nickname, but
no. But sure.
Oh, also, what happened to Harriet Tubman being on that 20?
On what?
Wasn't Harriet Tubman supposed to be on the 20?
On the racism in our government.
And then that leadership changed. Okay. Well, then just go to that escapism, go to the CW and get inspired by these heroes, because there's another one on Supergirl. Nicole Maines is playing Nia Nal, who is a trans superhero. Trans female superhero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the actress trans herself?
You know they are. You know they doing it right. They're not Scarlett.
Good.
They're not Scarlett Johansson-ing this or Diego Luna-ing this. Greg Berlanti, he's doing right. He's doing right. It's actually a trans actress and also trans like activist as well.
Nice.
And so we'll link this, but there's a really amazing, Mary Sue did a really, really great interview with the actress. And apparently like it's getting applauded because it's handling the plot and the character is just doing it so well. Where them being trans isn't the complete focus; it's a part of their life, but they're also half alien, so they've got this other sort of intrigue about them as well.
Intersectionality,
yeah, totally intersectionality, mm-hmm. right? You're a trans alien, like there's a lot going on, and so it's been able for them to be able to speak up about alien rights on the show, that their character, you know, and they also have a love interest. Brainiac 5, who they've been flirting with, so they're like layered, a very layered sort of character, and people have been really feeling it. They said at a quote, the response from young folks, and especially young trans folks who are seeing themselves as superheroes for the first time, has been so mm-hmm. heartwarming. It's really good. It makes me really happy. I have a hard time kind of finding the words, except for it's just good. So that kind of,
yeah, no, that's good.
Oh, that's what they said, too. We're all on the same page. there's already, the Arrow has a black gay male superhero that they've had on their show for a bit. And then Batwoman is coming out with your least favorite. She's not on your high list. Ruby Rose?
She needs to, Ruby Rose can prove me wrong as much as she wants.
Apparently she got mad. She already had her introduction into the Arrowverse and people were feeling it. So
they liked it. Okay. Good.
Liking it. And she's going to be a lesbian. Batwoman as her roots as a lesbian.
I think Batwoman is a lesbian in the comics as well, so I'm glad that they're not...
being like, here's her boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad they're staying true to form in the show.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're doing a lot. They're doing really good for the CW. I'm very happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, also really impressed. And just like, I mean... I always feel like superheroes and sci-fi, that whole entire world should always be pushing the genre in the same way that I feel like, you know, Star Trek does. Also, Star Trek Discovery is fucking amazing. Like, get your free week trial, binge watch it for the weekend, and then cancel it. And it's so worth it. It's amazing.
You didn't hear it from us.
But that's what you should do. It's just so worth it. This black female lead captain on the show. Well, actually, she's not a captain.
Look at you, James. You literally got a check from CBS Access. And...
Oh, that's
you're
true.
Telling people how to skirt this.
You're right, because you know what, the show is so worth it. There's like gay on Star Trek, there's gay characters on there. What's his face, is it Wilson Cruz? He used to be on My So-Called Life. He's been floating around. He's in it.
He hasn't been around in a minute.
He kind of just pops up here and there for like a one episode thing, like, oh look, remember me, Wilson Cruz? We're like, oh my god, My So-Called Life, and then he'll disappear.
Is it Anthony Rapp, the guy who was in Rent? He's in it too.
Anthony Rapp is also in it. Sonequa Martin Green, who she left Walking Dead. To join the show. Michelle Yeoh is in the show. Michelle Yeoh is the captain on the ship. Like,
hell yeah,
it's so dope. And I feel like it does what Star Trek is supposed to do, which is push the envelope of how like things are supposed to be in terms of like representation, and they subvert like everything. It's like, oh yeah, this is exactly how it should be. It's just, it's so fucking dope. I can't recommend it enough.
That's awesome. That's the best.
The election's coming up.
Well, we got a minute.
You're right. Sorry. I was trying to segue and I realized, it's damn near like 2 years away.
Well, it's like...
This is
damn
like,
near 2 years. Yep.
Yeah. And some people were saying like, oh man, like it's, you know, people are saying that they're running so far away. But I think it's partly like in part that some people... are not household names, so it's a way for them to get their name out there. And you know, again, you got to work twice as hard to get half as much. Just look at this, that like Joe Biden is still beating everyone and he's not even announced if he's even running.
You know what I was thinking about though, which actually kind of makes sense. So you know how when you have all your candidates, you're all there, they have their arguments or whatever, their debates, but you got to... Once it starts narrowing down, that's when you start picking your running mate.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these people that are announcing their run may not be actually gunning for president. They could be gunning for vice
VP.
President.
Oh, look at you. Hello, Politico.
Political in
that. Oh my God. That was like some dope ass political analysis right there. Hey, what do you think about that?
It just makes more sense.
Getting your name
right?
out there, I absolutely agree, which I do think, no matter what, you're going to see a women representation on the ticket, either at the top.
I hope so.
I think, how could you not? The fact that, the first four folks to come out of the gate were women, mm-hmm. the Democratic Party, how could you not? And not just mm-hmm. because, they're women, but they're also incredibly qualified. So,
Right.
So there's mm-hmm. also a potential gay candidate who's going to be running. His name is Pete. I had his last name of how to pronounce it, and I lost it. I had it last night. It's Buttigieg. Buttigieg, okay. But it's the first four letters are butt. So I'm like, oh, poor, growing up and.
Come on, you're in your 30s, James. Oh, push past
hey,
it.
Hey, hey.
Push
hey.
Past it.
I just say, man, poor guy having to grow up with butt in his name. But then it made me think, you know what? Gay or straight, everybody loves butts. So I don't know why butts always come towards, ooh, gay. No, human.
Well, yes.
Everybody loves butts.
Butts are fun.
Butts are fun. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You got one, I got one. We all got a butt. So we should. That would be my campaign slogan. You know what? Come together, because we all got a butt. James Arthur Martin, 2020.
You endorse this message.
My name is James. I endorse this message. So he's potentially the first openly gay presidential nominee. He is mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Currently mayor right now. And the tweets have been...
Of where?
Okay. I don't know. Look at the article
I'm
linking.
I figured that's not hard to... Okay.
I only put in some notes. I knew you were going to come for me
on
that.
You put way too much energy into the fact that he has butt in his name, but not where he's the mayor of.
He's the mayor of some city. I don't know. Tune into The View tomorrow. He'll be on there, and he'll tell you what city he's from. You guys can't see this, but Aneka is shaking
her
head. I
am so glad you don't go to the college where I'm a librarian.
I know. This is I'm like I'm being schooled by my neighborhood librarian. I did the homework, I swear.
Come on. Okay, all right. I'm not here to scold you. This is your corner, too.
But the tweets have been awful about him from some people in this country. So there's that.
People are garbage.
But I wanted to bring him up because take a look at his platform, get to know him, mm-hmm. and he might be a candidate that you might want to get behind to help support. As I said, all these candidates, there's going to be so many. Wherever you are, they're going to need boots on the ground to get the word out, to help out. So again, get involved this political season.
Yes. And also, I'd like to reiterate, it's okay to like multiple candidates. You don't have to throw your weight behind one.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just testing the water right now. Remember, someone's got to be somebody else's running mate.
Yes.
So,
in fact, I might there's a few candidates that there's two candidates that I might be I might throw my hat in to help Kamala Harris and Marianne Williamson. And I might help them both.
Yeah.
And I also might not even, I don't even know. I would help. Work with the candidate and still not completely say I'm gonna vote for them yet, because I can still support someone without. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense, because a lot of times when you support a candidate who, let's just face it, probably doesn't have a good chance of getting on a ticket, mm-hmm. they could help other candidates focus their attention on issues that they normally wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Exactly.
If you have somebody who's more liberal, then that can force a moderate candidate to actually look into liberal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a long haul. Like you said, it's almost two damn years because, it's 2019, but it is February 2019, and we're going to November 2020.
Oh, see, there it is. Do the math. A long time. Things are going to change.
Yeah.
Things are going to come out. It's just, And then stay involved, stay active.
Cool your tits, everybody.
Ooh,
we'll get there.
There it is. Cool your tits. Another Aneke original. Okay, not Scruff 2. I don't know what's going on with these apps and internet. So Scruff... Scruff is, for those of you who are not into dudes, who are also dudes.
I mean, I know what Scruff is.
Okay, but that's because you're with me and you on this podcast. I'd be telling
you. Yeah, and I also read.
Oh, look at her. She's.
I'm an ally.
You're I'm an ally. I even make an account so I can be hey, y'all, hey. I'm here.
I gotta investigate these. Side note.
Yes.
I was recently told by a gay friend of mine that they were surprised that I knew what PrEP was because their other straight friends didn't know what PrEP was. I'm disappointed in you straight people. Oh. You need to know what fucking PrEP is.
Yeah, in fact.
Do your research.
Do your research and like open your eyes because it's a huge, big, amazing thing. And it's actually, it's not just for gay men too. Everybody is more than welcome. If you feel like you want to prevent yourself from HIV, like get on the PrEP. Get on the PrEP train.
Yeah, that just irritated like, me. Sorry.
No, fair enough. That is a fair and valid irritation to voice on the podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so back to Scruff. So Scruff is like, I am currently not using any of the dating apps. They give me anxiety, but it would be my go-to app of choice. Yeah, they give me...
You've been taking a lot of bathroom photos.
Those are just for my Instagram. For you and my Instagram. My Christmas card photos. That's for my Christmas card.
That doesn't get you anything.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
I'm just doing it out in public. Yeah, those bathroom photos are not...
You like a nice traditional way. You like a DM to be slid into.
Ew! I hate that
phrase. Why is
phrase.
That gross?
I hate it. Oh my God. I hate that phrase.
Wow. What?
I'm sorry. It's like, I hate that phrase. Slide into my DMs.
I am learning new things from you.
It's so gross. Just say you sent me a message.
That's
I don't
what you
like
think
it.
Is gross.
Oh, God. I know. That's my threshold. Isn't that crazy?
That is a weird threshold. That's like a side threshold because you have gone past that.
Slide into the I can't even say it. Oh, slide into, can't. It's gross. Just say, sent me a private message on your Instagram or.
Okay,
your-
grandma. What is.
I just think it's so vulgar.
You think that's vulgar?
Yes. Oh, God. Anyways, back to this gay hookup app.
Okay.
So Scruff just banned photos.
Wow. There's a million things going on in my head that you have said on this podcast that I refuse to repeat. And yet slide into your DMs.
No, you keep saying it. Oh, God. It gets me so... It's so weird. It's gross. It's too much. It's too much for me.
I am surprised. In fact,
it's so funny that you brought that up because I meant to bring it up to you, tell you that like I don't like that phrase and I forgot to, and then you brought it up. And
why? It's not like I say it all the time.
No,
am I like saying
like,
that all the time?
The universe wants us to have this outing and this discussion.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, let's talk about Scruff.
So Scruff just banned photos of jockstraps, underwear, bikini-style swimsuits, or crotch shots as your main photo.
What? Isn't that like all it is?
Yes. And so apparently CEO Eric Silverberg tells out that Scruff's new policy is to comply with policies of app stores that host the app. Because apparently, I don't know. So that's apparently
seems weird. I don't know if I like that.
So you can still like have a private album share, but like it is a little frustrating because it's sort of like, is this the cost of being mainstream? Like, also remember Tumblr also issued a ban on like porn. Like, what is happening with the interwebs and these apps?
And
Craigslist did away with personal pages, like personals.
I don't even what's Incredulous.
The Craigslist. Craigslist.
Oh, Craigslist. Yeah.
Craigslist did away with personal pages, so it's like. What's happening?
It's a crackdown on
our kink, on our hooking up, and our sexcapades.
I know. I feel like people should be able to do whatever they want to do.
Consenting adults
should be able to do whatever they want to do in order to get their rocks off.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I don't see why people are laying down laws. It sounds like people's own neuroses and own, you know, like it's very draconian, and I don't like that.
I'm with you. So that's the update. I have a few more that I want to just breeze through real quick because speaking of dating apps, they may not have been the reason for the decline of in the gay bars. So it's not just lesbian bars. According to one estimate, the number of LGBTQ bars and clubs in the U.S. has dropped 12% between 2005 and 2011.
You did a whole corner on this, right?
Well, I did it specifically about the lesbian bars, and I just found out that it was like the even gay bars as well. And so, again, part of it might be because of the acceptance, mainstream acceptance, gays have moved out of the gayborhood and moved into the suburbs, which I don't get. Some like living.
Hey,
in
people like it. Don't knock it. Like we said, can't knock somebody's kink.
You're right. But then, like, you know, I was thinking because I don't feel necessarily I'd feel safe raising, like, being gay out in the suburbs. But at the same time, like, look what happened to Jesse in Chicago. So I guess that's not, like, a fair assessment. And yeah, like, I just can, yeah, just, it's a whole other thing. I applaud people who do move out to the suburbs because you're dealing with, you know, other parents and other people's shitty ass kids and cul-de-sacs and lemonade stands and all that stuff. Like, it's just, it's a lot. So I applaud you.
I think it's also, yeah, I mean, I personally wouldn't move out to the suburbs, but I can see the appeal.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now bars are, well, bars also used to be a place for us to rally against the machine, but that's not really happening at bars. But we do need to still stay awake because when you have things like the trans military band,
Know,
and it just seems like, yeah. So it seems like it makes me worried because I know it's such a pinnacle of our culture, of our history, and to see those like being erased, I don't know, it definitely makes me sad. And also partly too because of RuPaul's Drag Race, like, people don't have to go out to the, they can see queens and who they feel like some of the best queens from the comfort of their own home.
It's true. I also hear, though, that watching RuPaul's Drag Race as a community in a bar is fun, though, too.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I guess, you know, younger kids are pre-gaming and pre-drugging before they go out. Gay bars are also just expensive to run, especially with cost of permits and entertainment and property rates that are going up. Also, we talked about this when I talked about the lesbian bars, but they can also be, like, gay bars can also be hospitable to lesbians, bisexuals, trans people, as well as undocumented people, the poor, disabled people, people of color, and like, just people have reported sexual harassment in these spaces. So it's like, well, that doesn't sound like a fun place to go to. So gays, like, fix this. Like, do better in your bars.
Do better. We need to have more intersectionality.
And
I'm wondering,
yeah,
do you know if, probably not, but this might be something to look into, the trend of just going to bars in general.
Oh, if that's maybe changed. Maybe it was something like, I feel like you and I, like, when we were of the 20s, like, it was the thing to do. Like, it just,
yeah,
I felt like all we did was drink. Like, it was like every activity, it was like, let's bring some booze, going to the movies, going bowling, going for a picnic.
Well, yeah. And I think that that's still, like, obvious for, like, 20-year-olds. But, like, I feel like there's more things to do. Like, there's more festival culture now. There's,
some people,
you know,
are saving their coin because they're like, you know, I'd rather,
I gotta go to Coachella or whatever.
And that costs,
you know,
money,
like,
so I gotta save up.
Yeah, so I wonder if there's, like, a different trend, a different generation, and things are changing because of that. I don't know if it's just across the board or if it's specifically for the LGBTQ community. I personally don't really go out to bars that often anymore.
Yeah, no. Well, for me, when I go to the Castro, it feels, I don't, like, go out here in New York, but the Castro still seems like it's popping. So, and straight guys are still going out in droves to there. But anyway.
So you don't go out in New York?
I don't, but I'm, you know, 33. I feel like I've aged out.
I mean, we're talking about the scene the way it used to be. It would be people up into their 40s and 50s,
That's true.
Going there as, like, a meeting ground, a watering hole.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah, and, you know, but also, too, a lot of my friends, my gay friends, are all getting, like, engaged, and they're not going out as much as well, and they're getting married and stuff. So
maybe gay marriage is a part of it, too.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't, it's marriage equality.
Marriage equality,
say, because
but I think there's a lot of factors in point, so I don't know. Keep an eye on this, folks. But I still think it's important for us to be able to have our spaces and our bars. And I think that's another thing, too, because of acceptance. Maybe some younger folks don't feel like they feel comfortable going to, like, these straight bars. But I don't know. Maybe I'm of a different generation where I still need my gay space.
That you're not going to.
But I like that it exists. And when I go home to San Francisco, I dance it off there. Good point.
Okay,
good point. Okay, I have two last things I definitely wanted to touch on. I know this is a long state of the queer union, but there was a lot to address.
I feel like those of us that are listening are enjoying it. So you do your thing.
Okay, all right. Well, this is big. This happened in your own backyard, in my own former backyard. And so knowingly exposing someone to HIV will no longer be a felony in California. So Governor Jerry Brown
knowingly
exposing someone to HIV will no longer be a felony in California. It's going to be, so Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill Friday that lowers from a felony to a misdemeanor.
Wait, Jerry Brown's not our governor anymore. It's Gavin Newsom.
When does that start? Because this article,
it's already started.
Well, Governor Jerry Brown signed the bill. I don't know. He was like, one last thing to do. I'll sign that.
Okay.
Well, good point, librarian. Oh, man, she is.
Sorry.
She is not off the clock today. She is not off the clock today.
You can get away with being, I don't know who the governor is. I'm literally a California resident.
Oh, man. I kept an eye on that race, too, with Gavin Newsom. I would have voted for him. Somebody signed this bill a few Fridays ago.
Some governor.
The governor of California signed this bill. So this also applies to giving blood. Now, this was led by my boo, State Senator Scott Wiener, who I was supposed to get set up on a date with, but did not. And we'll
this
see what happens.
Random.
What?
All right.
He's really tall. Okay, you know I have a. I just want nothing more than to marry some gay politician man. I will be.
What about someone? Okay.
No, I want to be the Robin Wright to his Barack Obama.
Don't.
As in,
that was a lot of. That was some good dexterity there. I want to applaud you on that. Because you cherry picked the good people.
I did, yeah. Because like I,
because you were like Robin Wright to his, and I was like, uh oh,
yeah,
you're like Obama
to his Barack Obama. Because also like I don't want to be Claire Underwood. I want to be the actor.
Yeah, actress.
Robin Wright. Yeah, I want to be the actress. To marry to a politician man. So I'm glad you got my cherry pick correlation.
That was really good, and you did that off the cuff.
It's something I've been thinking about, like.
Maybe it wasn't so off the cuff.
Okay, so my boo was saying that today California took a major step treating HIV as a public health issue instead of treating people living with HIV as criminals. HIV should be treated like all other serious infectious diseases, and that's what this bill is doing. So the idea is that it's going to reduce stigma and the criminalization of someone's health issue, essentially. And it's believed the current law deters people from wanting to get tested, from knowing their HIV status, and HIV is not the death sentence that it once was. Remember what happened to Tiger Mandingo, who ended up serving a 10-year prison service? We talked about like episode 6 way back in the day. This law has been used to send many gay men around the country to jail, often by a jury, not of their peers who just see them as gay and evil and lock them up.
I don't like that either.
Supporters of the bill also said that women engaging in prostitution are also disproportionately targeted with criminal charges, even in cases where the infection was not even transmitted. So,
Here's my thing, though. Yeah. And I usually, you know me, I am as liberal as I come. But if someone knowingly infected me with HIV, I would be pissed. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I want it to be seen as a felony, but I do feel like, I mean, like, it's the same thing, like, with any SDI.
Well, that's the thing, is that's what they're treating it as. And so, because HIV, again, a felony was the idea that you were committing someone to murder, and you're not. And so, it's really, like, we have to kind of change our stigma around HIV.
I just worked through that in my own brain, which is good.
And actually, this tag teams with another thing that just happened. This is like, and so this is the last one I wanted to talk about, that the U.S. government declares HIV untransmittable in undetectable folks.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So I feel like that piggybacked with the last thing that just happened and why these things are moving. So again, I am not a doctor. So I don't even play one on TV right now. And so I do advocate for a healthy combination of PrEP and condoms is the best way to keep yourself from staying HIV negative and also STI free, because even PrEP does not, you know, there's been a rise in STIs because everyone's like, I could do a raw dog. And
see, point right there. I was waiting for it. I was waiting. I knew you were going to say something nasty, and I knew it. You did not disappoint. That is nastier than sliding into DMs.
Ah, you said it. Oh, God, that's gross.
You think that's grosser than doing it raw dog.
Raw dog is fine. That's funny. That's like...
That's nasty, James.
I don't know. That slide into the you-know-what is... That's a... Ooh, it... Icky.
What? A DM, a direct message.
Oh, but it sounds so nasty.
More than raw dog.
Yeah, absolutely. I stand by this.
I don't. I mean, you can die on that hill. That is so... I don't.
Fair enough.
Get it.
But a long-term study published by the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases has reached a conclusion that HIV positive people cannot transmit the virus when carrying an undetectable viral load. Yeah, the U.S. agency joins 300 health agencies around the world in supporting this finding. And I guess it was done through, I'll link it. But there was like 77,000 instances of condomless sex between, someone who was HIV positive and someone who was not, and in male same-sex couples, and the study found that not one instance of HIV transmission among them happened, which is why there's, I believe this is where they get the, you might see the U equals U, and the idea is undetectable equals untransmittable. And so there's trying to get people instead of, I think there's a push to get it even redefined as classifying people as not undetectable, but as untransmittable. And I think that's why you're seeing these new sort of laws. We just have some stigma to change around this.
I do feel like it's polite though to let people know your status.
Absolutely. I think the idea is just to not make it like such like you're going to like a felony, you go straight to like to prison.
Yeah. I think definitely there's two different conversations happening that I think a lot of people who are especially conservative might mix up. And the conversation is, one, why is this one particular, would it be classified as an infection or a disease?
I believe it's a disease. Infectious.
Okay, so.
It's an infection. It's
okay, this virus. This one virus.
Yes, virus.
It's
a virus.
Is treated with such severe, repercussion. But also, there's the ethical stance where if you are just out there willy-nilly spreading a virus around,
yes,
just don't do that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Think about people.
Exactly. Especially because, like, and I get it because, I mean, the 80s, that was it's terrifying. And I think we need to not forget that. And I'm glad that there's so many great documentaries and movies so we can remember. I mean, I can't even imagine how horrific it was of people just, people were dying and they didn't know what was happening. And,
right.
But also to look how far that we've come. And so I think it's time as a nation, as a world, to heal from that and to pivot from that. And there's an article that was talking about there's five reasons that this is to support this is that the science behind it is solid. Major health experts are on board. This is about HIV only. So it's not about, STIs and things like that, which, again, those rates are going up.
People across the board, we're not just talking about the LGBTQ community. We're talking about every community. If you got something, you treat yourself and tell people before you have sex.
Absolutely. And in fact, like, everybody should be going, if you're sexually active, you should be getting checked out every 3 months. It's every three months now. Yeah. There are plenty of, if you don't have health insurance, there are free clinics in your area.
Yes.
So definitely getting those checked out. At least if you're on PrEP, you get checked every 3 months, which is like kind of a bonus too, to being on PrEP, I guess, because you're getting doubly
checked out. And then also get some free condoms. They always got some free condoms wherever you can get checked out.
And apparently
you
use them for blowjobs too. But I mean, who's going to? This is a...
Okay. Not the two hosts do not agree on everything that is said.
I mean, oh God, we might just eat some plastic. Yeah.
Be safe.
Well, I just mean, like, who's going to use a condom during a blowjob? I mean,
some people, and let's not shame them for being safe.
You like that cherry flavor, and I applaud you. Show me how it's done. But, like, not on me. Well, I don't know. Maybe you want to go on a date. Okay. Sorry. Where is this going? So,
be safe.
This is
be safe however you feel like you need to be safe, everybody. Please. Thank you.
This is a major victory for HIV criminalization reform, as we're seeing, and this profoundly changes also how people with HIV view themselves. You know, I dated someone who was HIV undetectable, and I know the journey that they went through as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if you are HIV positive, have hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel for you. If you're HIV negative, there's so many ways that we were talking about for you to stay safe. Again, I am not a doctor. Aneka is not a doctor. Like, just
no, I'm not.
Do your own research and your own facts for yourself. And yes. Lastly, I link an article to Greta Garbo being the original Celesbian after Ellen. Put in there, and just trying to make sure I cover all my queer union bullet points.
Get and all your puns.
Fat Boy Slim, his son came out as bisexual. So I feel like I hit all the LGBT.
Oh, what? Wait, what was this Greta Garbo thing that you? What? I feel like we just had a fever dream right now.
There's an article I'm gonna link to about how Greta Garbo was the original Celesbian.
So she was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an article.
See, it took
I'm
me. That one was a.
Oh.
Yeah. I needed some. Context. You needed to connect the dots with that one a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for going on. And that is the state of the queer union. That's our state. That's what's happening.
Whew, that was good. I feel like I'm up to date on everything. You really kind of laid it down in a way that makes me want to slide into your DMs.
I can't believe you. I was like, oh, I think she's not going to say it. She's going to say Miss Mary Mack. My name is Miss Mary Mack, and I do not approve that message.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as a scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
Miss Mary Mac, and she is back.
Yes.
Zach Attack.
I don't trust you with Miss Mary Mack thinking that she died when she didn't die. She's alive and well looking at those elephants.
You must have heard it somewhere because you were like, she did go to heaven.
Somebody died and went to heaven, and I don't know who it was, but it was not Miss Mary Mack. And now that I think about it,
yeah.
Elephant is a long ass word to be saying three times.
It is, yeah.
To see like, the elephants.
Yeah. Like, who made this rhyme? Mm-mm.
You know,
see, heaven,
1908.
Heaven, it's quicker, it's faster, and people
it's
were.
Darker.
Well, people, it was dark times back then. Average life expectancy was like, what, 30? Like, come on. They weren't doing it.
People were living. Oh, I recently read. So, you know how there's those low age expectancies?
Yeah.
People were actually living until old age. It's just that there was a higher percentage of infant and child death that brings the average lower.
You just need to like make it through being your adolescence,
like,
and you're like, phew.
Once you're 25,
you're
going to be okay.
You were
unless there's a war.
Oh, well, then off to go fight it with your, you know, bayonet or whatever they had, your Jesus. Conga shells, or I don't know what they were doing.
Conga shells?
Your
that sounds
slingshots.
Fun.
Conga shells.
I want some conga shells.
And Aneka's like, draft me. Come
I
on,
know.
Everybody.
Do I get
your congas.
Get some
we're
going to
fight
shells?
On the battle line and dance it off and get your conga beat. You're like, the rhythm did get me for my country.
What's going on with Gloria Estefan?
She had a musical that's coming in your town.
Turn the beat around or whatever.
Get close. Get on your feet.
Oh, whoops. I was close.
You were close. Get on your feet.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sad because it left New York. It's been here. Was it here in New York for like 2-3 years? Some of these musicals just like skate on by where like no one except
it
tourists.
Skated on by for 3 years?
Yeah. Like, I mean, no one I know who like lives here has seen it. It's not one of those.
Oh, okay.
But like tourists love that show. Same thing with the Donna Summer musical has been here. Donna Summer has just been running and it'll come to you.
Nobody's going
like,
to see
someone's
it.
Someone's seeing
I don't know if
it,
I'm...
like, because it's still running.
Yeah.
It didn't close down like some of the other stuff, like Spider-Man.
I'm sad nobody's talking. Well, Spider-Man was a disaster. Yeah.
Or King Kong, which is like not doing too well.
That sounds like a disaster too.
But I hear the puppetry is amazing. It takes like 19 people to operate the King Kong giant puppet. And
see, I love a
good
puppet.
And a black woman is the lead.
Why isn't this? This sounds amazing.
I know. My roommate went to go see it and said it was spectacular and amazing. The music is forgettable, but the puppetry is fucking phenomenal. Like 19 person puppet.
I love a good
like,
puppet.
And it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah. Do you see the people operating
it? Not really. They're dressed in black and you kind of, but like they have to also.
See, that's always kind of weird.
They also move as like one and you really see like, it looks like a giant fucking gorilla on the stage looking at this tiny woman.
That's.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that. I would go see that just for that.
I want to go see it. And tickets are very affordable because no one.
Go see it,
no
James.
No one else is seeing it. Okay. But yeah. Okay. I will. It's on my list.
If I was coming to New York, I would make you go see that.
And
with
I would.
How come we didn't go see a show when I was in New York?
Well, we were too busy zapping around, drinking.
That's true. We were seeing everything. Oh, that's the other weird thing. So now that I've actually been to Stonewall, thanks to you.
Mm.
Whenever I hear about the happenings in there, like how Madonna was in there recently performing for like New Year's, I'm like, how did that happen? That place is
It's tiny. You're like, so 40 people were like in the, it's tiny.
Yeah, her and her butt, her fake butt.
Oh, she has a fake butt?
Yeah, apparently she got injections and it looks really bad.
Oh, Maddie. I just,
like, no.
You know, but she's at that point where, you know what, I just let her be. She's just like... She's reached
her
she's,
body, her decision.
And she's reached. She is she's a queen. She is royalty.
But that's the thing. Like, who would do that to her? She's so rich and she's so famous.
But people like money. So if you're like, hey, I'm gonna give you this money if you do this thing, people will be like, okay, I'm gonna take your money.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm
true.
Gonna charge you celebrity rates. So, y'all, if you are a person that is around celebrities and you do a service, tell them no. Tell them no if they don't need something. Tell them no.
Or do it really well so they can be advertisement for you so more people can come to you to do it. Don't
See?
Do a shitty ass
job. That's the better business model. That is
Hello.
Some Miss Mary Mac business modeling right there.
This episode has been sponsored by Miss Mary Mac.
Who slid into
did
your
did not
deep.
Die.
Miss Mary Mac who did not die, who slid into your... things
your raw dog
oh she's your DMs oh okay
see
right.
You said it
oh, it makes
gross.
Me so uncomfortable
I don't know why
it's just it's I mean don't you hear it sliding
no.
And okay it seems yeah my version
are you grossed out because it sounds like a vagina
no I'm
okay,
not that
good.
Guy no not at all in fact
a
I imagine
butt?
Like a dick in a butt like and that like
isn't that great
yeah but just the way that it's like getting in here, squishy.
Oh, it's a texture issue.
It is a texture issue. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me, but like it's more slippery and slimy and goopy.
So it's not the flavor of the Jello; it's the texture of it.
But now that's gross. Now I feel like I'm tasting sliding into DMs.
Ew. Okay, now you've got me there. We have.
Well, hope we slid into your ear holes tonight, so or today. We want to just thank y'all for listening.
Thank you for
Minority
sticking with us.
For sticking around, not
wow,
sliding
you've
away.
Made it to this point. You are a trooper.
You deserve a gold star. And you can tweet at us at Minority Corner, spelled with a K.
Yes, on Twitter. You can go to the Facebooks. We're on there.
Great conversations happening at the Minority Corner Kids Playground. And you can also email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com. Ask us anything. We are going to answer it. We've got some, I think, in the queue. So maybe next week we might read some of those that are coming up.
That's
sure
exciting.
In there.
Okay.
And well, thank you also to Woody, our editor. We can't do this show without you. You're
yeah,
so fabulous.
Seriously.
And also a big thank you to Brownout for the music. And a big thank you to you all for listening.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you guys. We don't exist without you guys. So
it's just me and Aneke talking about butts and things to each other.
Who knows? Who's the mayor of what city? Who's our governor? I don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're
the majority.
Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.